All right. We're holding on your days on the days, three lines from the bottom. We started talking about so you have the last 10 fasts that have to do with rain. So the first three fasts for the Tzibur, we said, are very lenient fasts. The next three and next seven after that become progressively more strict. And we said among the other things is you're not allowed to do malacha on them, which we learned from a pasuk. We learned from a pasuk in Yoel. And we started talking about then that the fact that that malacha is only also on them by day. And we said that the reason is because the pasuk mentions isfu zkenim, gather together the skenim, which we're going to say in a second what the skenim are doing. And therefore that takes place by day, because as Rashi says, by night everybody's home, they're not necessarily gathered in shul. Therefore, the implication is that malacha is also osur by day. I left out a detail yesterday, actually, that Tosfos mentions, by the same token, you could say, why do we say that the fasting by these fasts begins the night before? Shouldn't we say by the same token that it only begins by day? And the answer is because if you look at the order of things in the pasuk, the pasuk was kadshut soim, declare a fast day, kiru kadshut soim, make holy a fast day, kiru atzara, call an atzara, which we said means a stoppage from work, isfuz kenim, and gather together the skenim. So therefore, the implication is that only the malacha, which is right before mentioning the skenim, is meant to be restricted to the day only, whereas the tzoim, the fast, doesn't have to be restricted to that. So therefore, by these fasts, it can be by night as well. So we're holding three lines from the bottom. So the Gemara says, Heichi Avdi. So what exactly is the schedule of events that takes place on a Tainus? We said that in the morning already, the Skenim are gathering together. And that's why already from the morning is when the Issur Malacha begins. So Amar Abayim, it's Safra Ad Pauga D'Yoma, from the morning until the middle of the day, Ma'ininan B'Mila D'Masa. We look into what's going on in the city. Meaning, Rashi says, so that's what the Skenim are doing over there, because the Skenim, generally speaking, means the local basin. So they start looking into, they check what people are doing. If there are people who have stolen, for example, then they bring, they see if they can get the victims to forgive them. Obviously, that may involve, depending on the circumstances, if the ganav is able to pay back what he stole, then good. If not, you know, you can have a case, for example, where a person stole from rabbim and he doesn't know the particular people he stole from. For example, if he had false weights and measures, that sort of thing. So they do that. More generally, the Rambam says they look for not just for stealing, but any other avedas that they find that people are doing, and get them to commit that they're going to stop, and give them penalties as necessary. That's the first half of the day. Mikan ve'elach. Then the second half of the day, river de yoma konen v'sifra v'haftarta. For one quarter of the day, we read from the Sefer Torah and we read the Haftarah. Mikan ve'elach ve'inin rachmi. And after that, we daven for rachmanos from Hashem for the remaining hours of the day. This that we're saying, by the way, that we only lane in the afternoon. The Ran points out, well, does that mean, so why is it that on fast day, what's now here, we're talking about fast days for rain, granted, but still, basically, at least some of the same idea should apply to the regular fast, the regular scheduled fast, like Shavuos v'Tammuz and that group. Why do we see, so why do we lane vayichal on them in the morning? In fact, in Shulchan Aruch it says that on a fast day for rain or other such things like that, if in fact it's on, well, they are on Monday and Thursday, then you actually don't lane vayichal on those in the morning, that Amar says. You just lane the regular parasha of the week, the regular thing you'd read on Monday and Thursday, and only in the afternoon do you read vayichal, which fits with our Gemara. But what about on the scheduled fast days? There we do vayichal in the morning. So one answer is, in fact, that it's true. The Gemara doesn't mean to say over here you don't lane in the morning. It means primarily the Haftarah, though, you only do in the afternoon. And that's, in fact, what we do. In the morning of a Tainus Tzibur, we don't do any Haftarah, only in the afternoon. So that fits with our Gemara, that the afternoon is the time for that. Now, Shenemar, so where do we get this whole schedule from? So the Pasuk describes in Nehemiah, Vayakumu al Amdam, they, the Levium, the Skenim, whatever, stood in their places. Vayikru v'sefer Torah Hashem alakeim revius hayoyim. For one quarter of the day, they were reading from the Torah of Hashem. Urevius mishvadim mishnachim l'Hashem alakeichem. And for one quarter of the day, they were admitting and bowing to Hashem and admitting their various avedas. So therefore, that establishes, in other words, that you have a quarter of the day to lain and do the haftarah and a quarter of the day to be davening. So the Gemara says, still epochana, still you're saying the first half of the day they're looking into what people are doing wrong in order to fix it up. How do we know it's that way? Maybe the other way around. The first half of the day we do the laning and the davening for rachmim, and the second half of the day we deal with finding out what people are doing wrong and fixing that up. And the answer is lo sakudaydach. You can't think that way, dichtiv, because you have a different pasuk. This is in the Ezra portion of that sefer, where Ezra describes what happened when he found out that there's a big problem where there are a lot of Jews intermarrying, and a lot maybe, but whatever, where there's enough of them for it to be a problem. And the pasuk says, "Ve'elai ye'osfu kol chored b'divrei elokei Yisrael." They're gathered to me all the people who are concerned about the words of Hashem. Meaning, in other words, these are people who they find out that people are doing averus and are very concerned about it, and they want to take action. Al ma'al agoyla, v'goymer, because they're coming and gathering to me because of the transgression of the goyla. So the goyla are the people who now were in Golos and now came to Eretz Yisrael to build the second Beis Hamikdash, and now there's a problem that some of them are intermarrying. So first Ezra describes how everybody is gathering to him to discuss what they should do about it. Uchtiv, and the next pasuk continues, over mincha sa'erev kamti mitan nisi, in mincha of the evening, which means already late in the day. So really, in other words, Mincha Sa'erev, Rashi explains, can be any time from Chatzos and onward, because one meaning of the word Mincha usually means the time of davening Mincha, but more it can mean more generally the time when the sun starts going to its rest. Mincha Malashon Nocha. So at that time, he says, Kamti Mitan Nisi, I got up from my fast. Now, he doesn't mean, Rashi says, that he only fasted half a day. We talked about in the Gemara yesterday that a fast has to be until Shkia. It means, in other words, that I was being mitzar myself until now. It wasn't a formal fast, but he was in such tzar finding out what's going on that he hadn't eaten just because he was in too much tzar. Now he got up from that. Not necessarily having broken his fast, in other words, but he got up now. And the pasuk continues, "Vakari bigdi umi'ili." I ripped my clothes and my robe, and the pasuk continues, "Va'efer sachapai el Hashem," and I spread out my hands to Hashem to daven. So we see, in other words, that only by Mincha Sa'erev is he going and starting davening. Therefore, that establishes that only the second half of the day do you do that. The first half of the day, in fact, we see that Ve'eila Ye'osfu Kol Chored B'Divrei Elokei Yisrael is this Ma'ayin B'Mili D'Masa. We see that this is Kenim, and then the Sarim and whoever are gathering to him in order to discuss what's going on and what we can do about it. So we see from that the schedule of the day, and we see that the davening and the asking Hashem for Rachmim takes place during the second half of the day. There's a line over here in Rashi that says that this says in connection with Nehemiah ben Chachalya, and so the Rashash explains what Rashi means is this, and the pasuk that we just quoted before, Vayakumu al Omdam, are actually referring to the same event. So when Ezra and when Ezra is told about this problem of intermarriage, then we're saying that in the afternoon he got up and ripped his clothes and started davening to Hashem, and then the same event, even though it's described elsewhere in the Sefer, is when the Levim and the Skenim and whatever are laning publicly from the Torah, and then Sperevs are for a quarter of the day, and then for a quarter of the day they're davening to Hashem. So it's all the same event. So we see therefore from that the schedule of how things are. Okay. Now we talked about in the Mishnah that again we have on these on the second and third series of fasts for rain. We said that among the things that they're also to do are to bathe, rechitza. So let's talk about that. Amar Rachman bar Papa Amar Chista, Kol Shehu Mishum Evil. Any time when a person is not supposed to bathe because of Avelos, or any fast, when the Chachamim said not to bathe, to go in Tisha B'Av, for example, Tisha B'Av, the Ovel, or an Ovel himself. So also Ben B'Chamin, Ben B'Tzayim. So those, a person is not allowed to bathe whether in hot water or in cold water. Now, obviously, that applies to Yom Kippur as well. We're not talking about that. The Bach says over here in Agoriz HaBach, because we're focusing on things that are banan. obviously things d'oraisa have their own rules. But the things d'rabbanan, we can distinguish between things that are because of avelus, for example, Tisha B'Av, and for example, an oval. Most of the dinim of avelus are d'rabbanan. So then they're also to bathe in hot water or in cold water. Kol shehu mishum tainug. On the other hand, a fast that is not because of avelus, but because the Chachamim wanted to restrict the tainug, because people are in tsar, and therefore people are not supposed to have tainug, are not supposed to have pleasure. To go in tainis tzibur, for example, these tainis tzibur that we're describing here in the Mishnah, b'chamin also b'tzonin mutter. So they would not be allowed to bathe in hot water, but they would be allowed to bathe in cold water. So the Gemara says, Omer of Idiba Oven, Afanan Nami Tanena. In fact, we can prove that from our Mishnah, because the expression in our Mishnah is, we said, after we said that they're not allowed to bathe and do these other things, it said, V'noilanus amachatzois. We close up the bathhouses. So now, what takes place in bathhouses? People bathe in hot water. So that itself implies that on these Tanesim, only bathing in hot water is also bathing in cold water is mutter. By the way, Tosfos points out, since we said before on Daf Yud Aleph and Yud Beis, we brought what Shmuel said, and the halacha is like him, that outside Eretz Yisrael there's no such thing as Tainis Tzibur except for Tisha B'Av. So it means, in other words, therefore, that the other fast that has to do with the Churban, Shivas and Tammuz and the rest of that group, that they're not, so those are not really considered a full-fledged Tainis Tzibur. Therefore, you would be allowed to bathe and anoint yourself and so on and so forth on Shiva Sabatamus and the rest of them. Tosfos brings that from the Rav Yoel, although he says that Rav Yoel, his father Rav Yoel, says it's also to bathe in hot water. In practice, in Shulchan Aruch, it says that on the other fasts, other than Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, you are allowed to bathe and you are allowed to do all these things. However, the Bach says that a Baal Nefesh should be machmir on himself and not. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara then, so again, so Rav Idi Ba'oven is saying the fact that the Mishnah mentions the fact that they close up the bathhouses. Now, why would it need to say that? Once we say you're not allowed to bathe, there's no reason for the bathhouses to be open those days. Obviously, the implication is the Mishnah is telling us only what takes place in bathhouses, namely bathing in hot water, is also on such fast days, but not cold water. However, Amale Abaya, but Abaya says to Rav Idi Ba'oven, I don't understand what you're saying. The ibet sonin also. So how would the Mishnah phrase it if it meant to say that it's also to bathe in cold water as well? Would it say sochrinus anahoris me better than the Mishnah? Would it say we close up the rivers because that's where they would bathe in cold water? Obviously not. In other words, there's no way for the Mishnah to say it other than to say v'nolunus amechatzois. Who says that that's meant to imply that only bathing in hot water is also, maybe bathing in any kind of water is also, but practically speaking, where are people going to bathe in cold water? In the rivers. Well, they can't very well close those up. So how can you be medayek from that it means that only hot water is also? Amr of Shisha Bredir of Idi, Abba Hachi Kashalei. So Rav Shisha Bredir of Idi says, let me explain what my father, Rav Shisha Bredir of Idi, is the son of Rav Idi Ba'oven. Let me explain what my father found difficult in the Mishnah that made him decide that these words are meant for a deal. He was figuring, the question is not that the Mishnah is mentioning something with hot water versus something with cold water. You're right, Abaya, there's no way, because it's not like the Mishnah could say that we close up the rivers. The question was, once the Mishnah says you're not allowed to bathe, why even mention at all that they're closing up anything? Obviously, if nobody's bathing that day, then there's no reason for the bathhouses to be open. So it's not the fact that it mentioned the merchatzois as opposed to the rivers. It's the fact that it mentions anything at all. Therefore, Rav Idi Ba'oven figured that's the implication of the Mishnah, therefore, is that only hot water is also cold water is mutter. In other words, otherwise the Mishnah wouldn't have said anything at all. It would have just said, you're also berchitza, and it would have stopped there. It wouldn't have said anything about the merchatzois at all. Once it says that, then obviously the implication is only what takes place in merchatzois, namely hot water, is also, but cold water would be mutter. Okay, so the Gemara says lema mesayale. Okay, Rav Chista's din that. So now, can we say? So now, Rav Chista's din has two parts. Again, number one, where there's avelos involved, then it's also to bathe in cold water. Either the second din was when it's not avelos, when it's a matter of tsar, then only hot water is also. So Lema Masayle, can we say that we can support what Rav Chista is saying, the first half of his din, that Avelim are also to that Avelim and Tisha B'Av are also to bathe even in cold water? Can we support him from the following braisa? Kol chayovit tvilas, anybody who is chayav to tovel. So for example, a nidah or a woman who gave birth, tovelin kedavka, and they're able to tovel normally, bein b'tes ba'av bein miyem kippurim, whether on Tisha B'Av or Yom Kippur. Now, we learned at the end of Yuma, actually, that does not apply nowadays, because nowadays, this braisa is following an opinion that that's called in halacha is called tevila bizmana mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to tovel exactly at the time on the earliest possible day that you're able to. But nowadays nobody does that. When it comes to men, there's never any chiyuv to tovel anyway. The whole concept that we tovel because of keri is only a minhag. And as the Rambam points out, the minhag can't override the halacha that you're not allowed to bathe on these days. As far as a woman who's nido yeledis or whatever, first of all, as far as a woman who's a yeledis or a nida, they're anyway not toveling on the first possible day because of the various chumras and takonis that we have in terms of the halachas of nida, where a woman always has to wait a minimum of 5 days, and then there's always 7 days before she can tovel. So therefore, you're anyway not toveling on the earliest day that it would have been possible daraisa. So therefore, this din is not applicable nowadays. But back when there was when people had to be careful with dinim of tumah v'tahara, and when people are actually toveling like the original din daraisa on the seventh day for a nida, and on the 40th or on the seventh or 14th whatever day for a yeledis. So the braisa is saying they're allowed to tovel normally on Tisha B'Av or Yom Kippur. So thus far the braisa. Now let's figure. B'mai, what kind of water are we talking about that they would be toveling in? Ilema b'chamin, are we talking about that they'd be toveling in hot water? Obviously not. Tevila b'chamin mi'ika, is there such a thing b'chlal as toveling in hot water? In those times, they didn't have, generally speaking, the only way that you would have hot water for toveling would be if you drew it, if you had water that was drawn, and if you had water that was drawn and heated, like in a bathhouse, but that's possible to tovel in. Tosfos points out, therefore, we see from that, you can't say, for example, that if the water was drawn and then runs along the ground, then it should be kosher for a mikveh, because it's called she'uba shem shichuha. Tosfos says that works as far as saying maybe that such water won't pass a mikveh if it falls into it, but not to say that you can make a mikveh out of it. So practically speaking, in those times, they did not have a way of having heated mikvahs. Much, much later, in the times already of the Rishonim, they started coming up with various possible ways of heating mikvahs. All of them got shot down because they all have different problems in them. You're toveling inside a keli or whatever. The Alter Rebbe in particular finally came up with an invention that makes the concept of heated mikvahs possible, and eventually they started doing that. Essentially, it involves a box that has holes in it, but you only construct the box inside the water after it's attached to the ground, whatever, there's a whole arichus in it, but that, for the first time, made it possible regularly to have heated mikvahs. And then still later, they developed the concept, which we use nowadays, of bur agabe bur, and other such things like that, where you have a reservoir of rainwater, and then attached to it, or on top of it, in bur agabe bur, you have a reservoir full of mayim shu'uvim, which can be heated, and that works as well. But in the times of the Gemara, they didn't have any of those things. So therefore, it was a given that you can't tovel in hot water. So shu'uvim, you know, after all, such water would be mayim shu'uvim, and it would be possible. So therefore, obviously, when we talk about people toveling on Tisha B'Av or on Yom Kippur, necessarily we're talking about them toveling in cold water. And the implication is, so only people who are chayav to tovel, for example, like we said, a nidor or yeledis, are allowed to, implying nobody else is. So therefore, so now that would support what Rav Chista is saying. He's saying that when it's a matter of avelus, such as Tisha B'Av, then you're not allowed to bathe in cold water. Well, that seems to be what the braisa is saying, because the person has to tovel, do we override that? But other than and they can tovel in cold water, but otherwise not. But the Gemara says that's not a solid proof. Because you could say that the point of the braisa is, fine, there is a case where you could tovel in hot water. Namely, if you're toveling in the hot springs of Tiberia or someplace like that, where you have hot, where you have natural hot springs. Those are a perfectly kosher mikveh, and those are hot water. So there you go. Then maybe the braisa is saying that if a person is tameh, they can't tovel in chamit. They could even tovel in chamit Tiberia on Tisha B'Av or on Yom Kippur because they have to tovel, and that's the first available place. But not necessarily does that show. So in other words, the idea would be because they're tameh, you know, because they have to tovel, therefore they can tovel in hot water, implying. And if they were, they wouldn't be able to. But maybe that means anybody would, in fact, be able to go in cold water. So it's not a proof. So the Gemara says, okay, but if you're going to understand it that way, Ema Sefer, look at the continuation of the Braisa. Omer of Chanina Sgana Koinim, Rav Chanina Sgana Koinim says, no, even the Tmeim cannot tovel on Tisha B'Av or Yom Kippur. Kedai hu Beis HaLekeinu La'abed Olav Tevila Pamachas Bashana, the house of Hashem, which was destroyed on Tisha B'Av, is worthy enough to lose Tevila for it one time a year. In other words, he says, so you can't tovel on Tisha B'Av, big deal, you'll tovel the next day. At least don't do it on Tisha B'Av, show that you're praving Avelos for the Bais Mikdash. Which the Gemara explains at the end of Yoma and in other places, Rav Chanina Sgana Koinim disagrees with the premise that Tevila Bizmana Mitzvah, he holds Tevila Bizmana is not a particular mitzvah anyway. So instead of toveling today, you'll tovel tomorrow. So the point is, now let's see. The Iyamet Ritzonin Mutter, if you're going to tell me that any kind of tevila would really, with that any kind of bathing hot or cold water would be also on Tisha B'Av, and we're only making an exception according to the Tanna Kamma for Chayove Tevilas, then fine. Then that explains. Rav Chanina Sgana Koinim is saying, I'm not making any exceptions. Even cold water is also because, like Rav Chista is saying, cold water would normally be also. So the only reason to say otherwise would be Tevila Bizmana Mitzvah. Rav Chanina Sgana Koinim doesn't hold of that. Therefore, he'd say no tevila in cold water either. But the Amit Ritzon and Mutter, but if you say that it should be Mutter to bathe in cold water, not like Rav Chista, then why is Rav Chanina talking about that you're going to end up losing a Tevila? Yuchatz Ritzonin, just bathe in cold water. Amr Papa, so the Papa says, because we could be talking about the Asra de la Shchiyach Tzonin. We could be talking about a place where there isn't any cold water mikveh easily available. So the choice is not between a hot or a cold mikveh. The choice is between a hot mikveh and no mikveh. So therefore, we could say that therefore, Rav Chanina Sgana Koinim is saying, therefore, I'm not going to go so far as to allow a person on Tisha B'Av tovel in a hot mikveh, such as the hot springs of Tiberia. If there was a cold mikveh available, fine, he could go into it. We would say not like Rav Chista that he would say that an oval or a person on Tisha B'Av is allowed to go in cold water. But here we're talking about, let's say there is no cold water available, which the Chassam Sofer points out. We obviously can't be talking about in Tiberia itself because Chamei Tiberia are right near the Kinneret. And the Kinneret is a perfectly good mikveh as well. Rather, we have to be talking about, when we say Chamei Tiberia, we don't mean specifically the ones in Tiberia. We mean similar hot springs in other places in the world, where some of them that might be that there's no cold spring or mikveh easily available nearby. Okay, so not necessarily is there proof from this braisa for Rav Chista's din that an oval or a person on Tisha B'Av is not allowed to bathe in cold water. So the Gemara says Toshma. Let's try to bring another proof. Kshamru also be malacha. When the Chachamim said that a person is also in malacha on the fast days that we were talking about, and also this applies to to a tainis tzibur loy amru ela bayoyim. This only applies by day. Av balayla mutter. But if it's by night, then they're mutter, like we said before. Kshamru also be neilas asandal. Also, when the Chachamim said that you're not allowed to wear leather shoes. Loy omru ela be'ir. That loy omru ela be'ir. They only said that this applies in the city. Aval baderech mutter. But if a person is traveling on the road and they need proper shoes in order to be able to walk, mutter. So then they would be allowed to wear leather shoes. Ha'ketzad. So how do they do it? Yotzel aderech noyel. When the person is going to walk on his trip, once he's outside the city, then he can put on his shoes. Nichnas le'ir cholot, and as soon as he comes into the city, he has to take them off. Uchsha'omru osur b'rechitza. And another thing, when the Chachamim said that an oval, we were talking at first about the Taniyas Tzibur, when they said that a person is also to bathe, loy omru ela kol gufoy, that only applies to bathing his entire body, avapon of yad v'raglav mutter. But if he just wants to bathe his hands, face, and feet, or other parts of his body, mutter, then he would be mutter. And the braisa finishes off. That applies not only to a tainit tibur, the same thing applies to a person who in nidui, which we're going to talk about in moed katan in a couple of months. Best Hashem, we'll get into the details of that. And as far as an oval, which also we're going to talk about the details of that. So my lava kulu. So on the face of it, when it says v'chein atamotzi b'menudah over evil, it's referring to all the things that we just talked about: bathing and wearing shoes, doing malacha and wearing shoes and bathing, and over maya skinan. And again, we have to ask, what kind of water are we talking about? Ilema b'chamin. Are we talking about that he's allowed to bathe his face, hands, and feet? And we're saying he'd be allowed to bathe in hot water. How could that be? Ponav yada v'ragla misharu. Since when would an oval be allowed to wash even his face, hands, and feet in hot water? Didn't Rav Shesha say that an oval is also to put even his finger into hot water? Evidently, we're saying that he is also to bathe his entire body even in cold water. So Rashi explains that the question is, again, we're still trying to show whether Rav Chista's din is correct. Now, again, Rav Chista's din had two parts. Rashi says that the question we're asking on is, we're saying that an oval is also to bathe even in cold water. Well, we seem to be saying over here that an oval is, on the other hand, ponav yad v'raglav is mutter. So therefore, that shows that an oval is allowed to bathe in cold water, at least is allowed to bathe in cold water, at least part of his body. So therefore, that's a stira to that. Rashi says, the implication is that the fact that we're saying that on a tin and then a tiny sibber, you're not allowed to bathe your whole body, even in cold water, means, in other words, exactly that. So on a tiny sibber, you're not allowed to bathe your entire body in cold water. Rav Chista had said in the name of Rav Chista that on a tiny sibber, you are allowed to. B'chamin also b'tzonin mutter. The Bryce over here seems to be implying that you're not allowed to. Ponav yada v'raglav, fine, but you are allowed to, but not your whole body. So therefore, the question would be, according to Rashi, on the first half of Rav Chista's statement. Tosfos says, on the other hand, the question is really on the second half of Rav Chista's statement, says Tosfos, because he said that an oval is not allowed to bathe in cold water, and we're saying that, on the other hand, that an oval is like, that the case of an oval is like the case of a tainis tibur. You're not allowed to bathe your whole body, but you are allowed pun of yada v'raglav. And apparently we're talking about cold water again, because hot water, an oval is not allowed to do anything with hot water. So therefore, according to Tosfos, the question is on the second half of the Chista statement. Either way, the answer is, the Gemara says, not necessarily. So therefore it would be cold water. And the answer is loy, not necessarily. La'olam b'chamin. We can say that what the braisa means is that you're not allowed to bathe, that an oval and so forth are not allowed to bathe in hot water. So you're asking, in that case, the braisa seems to be equating a person, a tiny tzibur versus an oval, and saying the same rules apply to both. And yet, according to the Chista, there's a difference. You can answer Asha'arakoi. It's talking about the other things. It means, in other words, that the first things that it said in the Braisa, the Melocha and the Ne'ilas HaSandal, the same way as those, the same rules that apply to a person doing a tiny sibur also apply to an oval. He might be allowed to do Melocha at night. He'd be allowed to do Ne'ilas HaSandal when he's walking outside the city on the road, but not necessarily as far as the bathing. The Braisa is not necessarily equating them. You can say that, the Braisa is saying that during a tainis tzibur, you're not allowed hot water. During an oval is not allowed either hot or cold water. And so when the Braisa starts up by saying, but one of Yadav Raglav Mutter would mean that even on a tainis tzibur, you're allowed to bathe your face, hands, and feet in hot water, whereas an oval wouldn't even be able to do that. But not necessarily is it equating them as far as everything. Okay. The Gemara says, Toshma, let's try to bring another proof, again, for or against Rav Chista's din. The Amr of Abba HaKoyin Mishrim of Yosi HaKoyin, Maiso Meisu Bonav Shereb Yosi Ben Rechanina. It happened once that Rav Yosi Ben Rechanina's children passed away. V'roch, and so he was in Avelos. V'rochatz betzonim kol shiva. And throughout the 7 days of Shiva, he bathed in cold water. Or, okay, Rashi has a slightly different view. So not kol Shiva, but besoich Shiva, sometime during the Shiva. Nafkamina, that would be, could he do it again and again? Would we say, in other words, that he can take a bath in cold water, according to this, every day of Shiva? Or would we just say one time during Shiva, maybe we're going to allow it so he doesn't smell by the end of the 7 days? Anyway, the point is, we see over there that he's allowed to bathe in cold water. Now, on the other hand, Rav Chista had said that an oval is not allowed cold water. So therefore, this would be a stira to Rav Chista. The answer is hosem k'shetakfu avelos ava. That was a special case. That was a case where he had one avelos after another. In fact, the Braisa says that Mesu Bonov, his children, passed away. So in other words, the second one passed away within Shiva of the first one. Or right after the Shiva of the first one. So he didn't have a chance to bathe in between. The Tanya, and we learned a Braisa. Tukfu Avelov Zachazeh. If a person had one Avelos one after the other, then some of the rules for an oval are relaxed. Then Hichbid Sa'aray. Then if his hair is very heavy on him, so like this, he's going a long time without a haircut, make of the tar. So then he's allowed to ease it off with a razor. So in other words, Tosfos says he's not allowed to bring out layach, he's not allowed to really shave the normal way, but he's allowed to at least use the razor like to trim it. Now here we're not just talking about doing Shiva, for example. I mean, for example, when a person's parents pass away, then he's restricted from cutting his hair until the end of the 11 months or 12 months rather, or until his friends start telling him, you know, you look very unkempt. So there you could be how you could have the same kind of thing. A person's father passes away, and then within a couple of months after that, before he had a chance to cut his hair, his mother passes away. So then we're saying make over time, he's allowed to trim his hair, not cut it completely, but at least trim it. And he's allowed to wash his clothes in water and Omer of Chista. And Rav Chista explains what we mean is the tar of Aloy Mesparayim. Even then, he has to make a shinui. He can use the razor to trim his hair, but he can't use scissors, which would be the normal way of trimming hair. And B'mayim V'loy B'nesser V'loy B'choil, when we're saying he can wash his clothes in water, means only water. He can't use Nesser, which is, Rashi says, two possibilities. It's a type of earth that they used to use for cleaning in those days. Or the second possibility, Rashi says, it's chalk. Whatever it is, they would use that to clean clothes. And V'loy B'choil, and not with sand, which is also something that they would commonly use as an abrasive when they're washing clothes to get them really clean. So we see, in other words, that when tkafu avelov, then we have certain kulas. So fine, the case of Rabbi Yosi ben Chanina involved that. But maybe normally, in fact, like Rav Chista says, an oval would be also to bathe in cold water at all. Okay. Now, further on this topic, Amar Rava, oval mutar luchas b'tzonin kol shiva. Rava says, not like Rav Chista, an oval is allowed to bathe in cold water throughout the 7 days of Avelos. So therefore, we don't have to say now in this, according to Rava, we don't have to say in this story of Rabbi Yosi ben Chanina that it was tkafu Avelov. It could just mean that one of his children passed away and yet he was allowed to bathe. And Rava says, you know why? After all, it's no different than eating meat and drinking wine. Those are a tainug as well. And yet an oval during Shiva is allowed to eat meat and is allowed to drink wine. So the same thing, he's allowed to bathe in cold water. That's not considered such a tainug that we should ban him from it. Well, it says, Mace, we have a contradiction. A Braisa says, Eina Begeres Rashol and Novelos Atma May Evolavia. A Begeres, which is a. So Rashi starts by saying that a Begeres is a girl who has Shtei Cyrus. That's a little hard to understand because usually that's the definition of a Naira. A Begeres is 6 months after that. So in fact, the Rashash says that maybe the word over here, Shevi, a Shtei Cyrus, maybe goes a little later in the Rashi, where Rashi starts mentioning a Naira. Now, yeah, the stages are, you have a girl becomes a Naira when she develops Shtei Cyrus. 6 months later, she becomes a Begeres. Now, a Naira is not usually of the age to get married yet. A Begeres already is. So once she's a Begeres, then Einar, so she's not Rasha the novel of Tatsma. She's not allowed to make herself unattractive by, in other words, not doing the normal things that she would do to beautify herself. The May Evel of her, during the time of the Evel of her father. But Rashi says that can mean two possibilities. It can mean that her father is in Avelus, but she's not. For example, let's say her father had a son. Let's say, for example, her father had a son from a different wife or something. So now he's praving Avelus. She doesn't have to. So even though her father is sitting Shiva, she doesn't have to. That's one possibility. Or the other possibility, Rashi says, means her actual father passed away. So she does have to do Avelus, but still she's not supposed to be menabel. She's not supposed to be making herself unattractive, because after all, she's a kala meidel. She needs to keep herself attractive in order that she'll be able to find a shidduch. With that said, Tosfos says that when we say she's not rasha, it doesn't mean she's not allowed to. It means she's not required to. If she wants to, then she's able to. Other rishonim disagree with that and say that it actually means exactly that. She's not allowed to, because again, piriyah v'riviyah, that she herself should be able to get married, is an important factor. Anyway, the point is, we're saying a begeres is not allowed to, ha naira rasha, implying that if she was younger, if she was only a naira, she would be allowed to or have to, according to Tosfos. Now, what are we talking about? Lanavel asatma. What would she be foregoing that would make her unattractive? That was saying that we're allowing to her only because she's a begeres, a kalamedel, my lav v'rechitza. Evident, presumably, we're talking about bathing. In other words, we're saying normally she wouldn't be allowed to bathe, but now we're making an exception for her. So again, Umai, what kind of water are we talking about her bathing in? If we're saying we're talking about that she is allowed to bathe in hot water, so what do you mean, Aina Bageras Rasha? What do you mean she's not allowed to forego that? Again, we had Rav Chista said that an oval is not allowed to put even their finger into hot water. So hot water is completely off limits to her. There's no reason we're gonna be moderate for her just because she's a Bageras. Evidently, we're talking about cold water. So we're saying, in other words, normally an oval would be also to bathe in cold water. Only in this case, because she's a begeres, because she's a kalamedel, are we making an exception? Well, then that would mean that a regular oval is not allowed to, not like we're just saying Rava is. So that would work according to what we said, Rav Chista said on Amar Aleph, but that would contradict what Rava is saying over here. And the answer is why? Not necessarily is the Braisa even talking about foregoing bathing at all. Akichul pirkus. You could say the Braisa is talking about that she's not allowed to put on eyeshadow. She's not allowed to comb or part her hair. So the Braisa is saying that with being a kalamedo, she has to continue doing those things even during the avelus of her father, which again, as we said, means either her father is an avelus and she's not, or she herself is an avelus, as the case may be. But fine, because she's a kalamedo, she should still do her usual beauty regimen, but not necessarily as far as bathing. Maybe in fact, anybody in that situation would be allowed to bathe in cold water, like Rava is saying, and when there's no, we're not making any particular exception for her. Okay, so the Gemara says, lema masayale, fine. In that, can we say that we can support what Rava is saying with the braisa that we said before? It happened that Rabbi Yosi ben Chanina's children passed away, and he bathed in cold water during the whole 7 days. So that would support what Rava is saying, that an oval is allowed to. So before we brought that as a question on Rav Chista. Now we're bringing that as a proof to Rava. And again, the answer is Amri. They said that's not necessarily a proof, because again, that case could be talking about a special case where we had one avelus after the other. The Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa, if he has one avelus right after the other, and there was no time in between to do the various things that he would be doing once that part of avelus is over. So hichbid sorei, then if his hair gets heavy on him, make a batar, he's allowed to trim it with a razor, or mechabes ksusi b'mayim, and he's allowed to wash his clothes in cold water. And again, we said omer achista batar avaloi b'mesparayim, he's only allowed to use a razor, he's not allowed to use scissors, b'mayim v'loi b'neser v'loi b'choy v'loi b'ahol, he's not allowed to use neser, which again, you had the two definitions in Rashi, he's not allowed to use choy, which is sand, and here, we have another one as well. He's not allowed to use ahol, which is aloe, which is also used as a detergent. So the point is, in other words, so that braisa is talking about a special case of takfu avelav. Doesn't show that when you don't have that you should be allowed to bathe in cold water. So not necessarily is that a proof for Rava's statement. That's version one of what Rava said. Version two, ikadami, omar Rava oval also b'tzayin kol shiva. Version two is that Rava says, like Rav Chista, that an oval is also to bathe in cold water throughout the 7 days. And the question is, in that case, my shnomi bosa v'yayin. In that case, how is that different than meat and wine? We're saying he is allowed to eat meat and he is allowed to drink wine during Shiva. Those are tainug as well. Why should bathing be any different? And the reason is, because he's doing that only in order to take away, like to take the edge off his field. He's doing Shiva. He's feeling really bad and fearful that already somebody in his family passed away and who knows who's next or whatever. So therefore we allow him. We don't need him to be depressed during Shiva. We just need him to be sad. Therefore we're going to allow him to eat meat and drink wine. But bathing is already more of a tainug, and a tainug is supposed to be off limits to him during that time. Okay, so again, lema masayale. Can we say that we can support him from the braisa about the begeris? Ena begeris ashor v'naval atma ha-naira rasha. Apparently, a naira is allowed to, or even has to, according to Tosfos. And so, to avoid, and we're assuming the naval atma again. We're assuming means to avoid bathing. So, but my again, what are we talking about? Ilema b'chamin. Are you talking about that a begeris is allowed to bathe in hot water even during her avelus? So, what do you mean? Ena begeris rasha. What do you mean she's not allowed to forego that? Evidently, we're talking about that cold water, and we're saying we're making an exception for her, but otherwise, people are also to go in cold water during Shiva. And the answer is loy, not necessarily, because the braisa could be talking about, like we said, akichol pirkus. We could be talking about, for example, putting on makeup or combing her hair. That those being a kalameid or being a begeris, she's allowed to do, but everybody else, according to Tosfos, even she has to, but everybody else would not be able to. Omer of Chista. So Rav Chista says, by the way, since we're saying that an oval only when tekafu avelov is he allowed to wash his clothes, and even then only in plain water, zoyse meres, we see from that oval also, but tekafu says kol shiva, that an oval is also to wash his clothes throughout the whole shiva. So now, v'hilchasa, what's the bottom line halacha with this? What is osur and what is mutter to an oval? What is mutter to an oval? So v'hilchasa, oval also luchitz kol gufoi ben mechamin ben mitzonim kol shiva. An oval is also to bathe his whole body, whether in hot water or in cold water, throughout the whole shiva. Av upon of yad v'raglav, but as far as his face, hands, and feet, or anything less than his whole body, v'chamin also b'tzonin mutter. That he would be also to do in hot water, but he is mutter to do it in cold water. Av a losuch kol shehu also, but smearing oil or ointment or whatever on a person's skin, that is also to him throughout the 7 days of any kind. If he's only doing it in order to get rid of a bad smell, so like he's putting on deodorant or something, then that would be mutter. So this is why, for example, so during the an oval is in fact allowed to he's not allowed to bathe in cold water, but for example, he can wash negovasser in cold water, let's say, on the other hand, on Tisha B'Av, we're more machmer, and we say we don't wash normally on there either. We wash only the minimum we need for negovasser in the morning. But other than that, we don't bathe at all on Tisha B'Av. Okay. New discussion. Slosa de tanina hefi matkirina. We say we say something for a we say something on a tainus. We say anenu. At what point in davening do we say anenu? So the Gemara says, Adbere Rehuda Rav Yitzchak Brei, Rav Yehuda Adbere his son Rav Yitzchak, and there's a few different explanations what Adbere means. Rashi in Beitza, where you have the same expression, says that it means like he took him for a walk through the city and taught him this halacha. And there's a few other explanations. It means like he coached him to say the following thing in a public drasha, or it means he appointed him a leader of the community, and he doused him such and such. Anyway, so he said, the Dorash and Idarshan Yochid Jakibal all of Tainus, when a Yochid accepts the fast on himself, Mispaloshal Tainus. Then Mispaloshal Tainus, so he can say on Nenu, when he, so we talked about previously on Yud Aleph Yud Beis, the various details of a Tainus Yochid. We said what are the criteria that are needed for it to be considered a real Tainus, but once we establish that it's a real Tainus, then yes, he can say on Nenu. The Heichan Omra, then Goyal L'Roife. Where would he say it? He would say it between the Bracha Goyal Yisrael, between Re'enu V'Anyenu, and Rafa'enu. So you would say it, in other words, as an extra brahma. But maskif lo Rav Yitzchak, but Rav Yitzchak or Rav Yosef, it says it here on the side, says, what do you mean? Yochid kevei bracha la'atmai. How is a yochid important enough to have a bracha of his own that we should say that we're going to say that he should add an extra bracha to Shemina Esrei because of his tainus? Elo, Amar Rav Yitzchak b'shemei atfila. Rather, Rav Yitzchak says the yochid should be saying it within the bracha shemei atfila. So he's not saying it as a separate bracha. He gets to Melfonachem Alkenu Reikam Al Tishivenu, and then he inserts Anenu over there, and then he concludes the bracha in the usual way. Kiyat Shemei Atfilas Kaper Baruch Atah Hashem Shemei Atfila. So that way, because what's Shemei Atfila is that Hashem listens to our Tfilas. So therefore, it's an appropriate place to be asking Hashem to listen to our Tfilas on the times. The Vachain Omer Rav Sheshes b'Shemei Atfila. Rav Sheshes says the same thing, that a tainus of a yachid, then he says it in Shemei Atfila. So that applies. In other words, now Tosfos points out that applies not only to a yachid's own tainus, it also applies on a tefillah tzibur when the yachid is davening Shemini Esrei. This concept that we said ein yachid kevei bracha la'atmai means that also on a tainus tzibur when the yachid is davening Shemini Esrei and saying anenu, he says it in Shemini Tefillah. He doesn't say it as a separate bracha. Only the Chazan says it as a separate bracha, as we're soon going to talk about in the Gemara. By the way, you do have a halacha in that connection that Tosfos actually says over here that you finish off the bracha you say over there that Hashem listens to the Beis Sarah and you finish off Baruch Atah Shemei Atfilah. It does say in halacha though, if the Chazan forgets Anenu between Goyal and Roifi, where it's supposed to be, then he says it in Shema Kelenu, but he still says it, he still doesn't say it as a completely separate bracha, but what he does then is he changes the ending of the bracha, and he says, Ha'oinu la'am Yisrael ve'es Sarah v'shemei atfila. So he combines together the two endings, the bracha of the ending of the bracha that would normally be between Goyal and Roifi, and the bracha of Shemei atfila. That's for the Chazan. Now, for the Yochid, we're saying he just says it in Shemei atfila, not even as a separate bracha. So the Gemara says, Mesvi, I have a contradiction to that. A Braisa says, Ein ben yochid l'tzibur. There's no difference between what a yochid and a tzibur davens on a tainus. Ela shezem espal shmoine esrei, v'zem espal tsha esrei. Except that the yochid davens 18 brachas, the regular shmoine esrei. In other words, he doesn't say anenu is a separate bracha. And the Chazan says 19 brachas because he does the extra bracha between goyel and roifei. Now, why do we have now? What do we mean 18? We have our Shemini Esrei nowadays of 19 brachas. Rashi refers to the Gemara in brachas that says that the bracha of Olam HaShinim was only made up later in the time of Rav Gamliel HaZaken. So originally there were 18 brachas. So in other words, if this brisa were to be written nowadays, it would be saying 19 and 20 respectively. On the other hand, the Rid brings from Yerushalmi and from various other sources that there was a minhag, in particular in Eretz Yisrael, that they used to combine together the bracha of Yerushalayim and the bracha Es Tzemach into one big bracha. And therefore, it means that before V'lam HaShinim, there were 17 brachas in Shemini Esrei, and after they added V'lam HaShinim, there were 18. So according to him, that brisa, the brisa 18 and 19 would still apply nowadays as well. In fact, we do it so there are, for example, piyutim that you can find in some sidurim that are said at certain times during Shemini Esrei. For example, you have one for Purim and one for Tisha B'Av, and in all of those, there's no separate one for Vilir Shalayim. You have each one of them has a paragraph for the 18 brachas of Shemini Esrei, but you have a paragraph that you insert before Magen Avraham, a paragraph you insert before Mechaya Mesim, et cetera, but you have no separate one for Vilir Shalayim because that's based on that minhag, or there's no separate one for Es Tzemach, rather, because that's based on that minhag where Es Tzemach was not originally a separate bracha. We also have in our Nusach, when we say Es Tzemach, we do mention Yerushalayim in there. The other way around. In the bracha on Yerushalayim, we do mention over there. In the bracha for Yerushalayim. So that's also maybe a vestige of this thing that there used to be one big bracha. Anyway, the point is that we're saying that the Chazan adds one extra bracha. And we're saying the Yochid doesn't, but the Chazan does. So from my yochid or my tzibur. So what do we mean the yochid versus the tzibur? Ilema yochid mamash v'tzibur shliach tzibur. Do we mean the yochid means when the individual is davening Shemoneh Esrei, and tzibur means when the chazan is repeating Shemoneh Esrei? Well, then it's not just 19. There's not just adding one bracha. Hani chasre esrim ra'arba havu. He doesn't just have 19 brachas. He's not just adding one bracha between goyel and roifei. He's adding six brachas, as we're going to learn in the next perek, that on a tainus tzibur, they would add six extra brachas between Goyo Yisrael and Rafaenu. So the Braisa can't be contrasting the Yochid, meaning the individual davening Shtil Shemoneh Esrei, versus the Chazen saying Chazaras Hashatz, because then it's not 18 versus 19, it's 18 versus 24. El Olav Hachikamer. Evidently, the Braisa means to make a distinction. Ein ben Yochid, the kibble of the Tainus Yochid, the Yochid, the kibble of the Tainus Tzibur. There's no, within a Yochid himself, who's davening Shemoneh Esrei, there's no difference whether he accepted on himself something that only has the dinim of a tainis yachid, where we said, therefore, he's allowed to bathe and anoint himself and so forth, versus where he accepted on himself the stringency of a tainis tzibur, meaning that he's not going to be allowed to do malacha and bathe and so forth. And the Braisa is saying one davens 18 brachas, because he doesn't say a separate bracha for anenu, and the other one says 19 because he adds it as a separate bracha. So therefore, that shows that even a yochid is important enough to have a separate bracha that we do sometimes say a separate bracha. So that would prove what Rabbi Yehuda had said to Rabbi Yitzchak, that you do that, but not like Rabbi Yitzchak or Rabbi Yosef had asked on that that you don't have that a yochid is not important enough for that. The answer is the Gemara says loy. Not necessarily is that what the Braisa means. La'olam emalach shliach tzibur. You could in fact say that the Braisa is distinguishing between the yochid who davens and the shliach tzibur who davens, and saying that only the shliach tzibur says anenu as a separate bracha, the yochid does not. Udikakashalach shliach tzibur esrin ra'avah ma'afli. So you ask, what are you talking about? The chazan does 24 brachas. No, well, when does he do the 24 brachas? The Gimel Taniyus Rishonis, the Laka Esrim Abba. We're talking about on the first three fasts, on the first three fasts, you don't dive in the extra six brachas on those. So on that, the Chazan is only saying Anenu. He's not saying any of the six brachas, and therefore, yeah, there he says Anenu as a separate bracha, but the Yochid would not. The Gemara says, what are you, the loy? You're telling me that not? You're telling me on the first fast, you don't do the extra six brachas? The Braisa that says there's no difference. Ein ben gimel rishonis to gimel ansoyis. There's no difference between the first three fasts for rain and the next three fasts. Elish ve'elo mutodin v'asiyas malacha or ve'elo asurin v'asiyas malacha. On the first group, you're allowed to do malacha. On the second group, you're not. Now, okay, we don't mean that's the only difference. We said there's a number of differences. They're both also berchitza or vesicha and so forth. Fine. What we mean is that, in other words, we're only quoting the beginning of the braisa over here. But the point is, the braisa does not list the difference in the nusach of the tefillah, holochof dalad zevezeh shavin, implying that in terms of the 24 brachas, it's the same thing. So you see that even on the first fast, you daven 24 brachas. Therefore, again, we can't say that when the previous braisa said that the tzibur says anenu is a separate bracha, it should mean the shliach tzibur, because the shliach tzibur is never saying only anenu, he's saying the extra six brachas. Obviously, the distinction has to be within a yochid, whether it's a tainis yochid or whether it's a tainis tzibur. And the Gemara answer is no. Tana v'shayer. No, you could say that the Tana is not listing all the details. He's mentioning some of the details. He's leaving out some other ones. Like Moses says, my shire to high shire. If you're going to say that, you can't say that Tana is leaving out only one thing. You can say, fine, he didn't want to give the whole list, so he left out some things. But so first of all, what did he leave out? The true ha'en ben katani. And anyway, how could you say he left out anything at all? He says ein bein. There's no difference between this and this. So therefore, that implies that it's an exhaustive list. That's the end of the list. So wouldn't that mean that on all the fasts you daven 24 brachas in Shemoneh Esrei? There are some. Hagoyis Habach takes out the v'tuv v'ha ein bein katani because for one thing, we already established if we're going to say ton of a shire, it means that we're comfortable with the idea that ein bein can be we leave out things, so there's no reason to bring up the question again. Anyway, the answer is fine. Ella, so you're right. It's not that the Tana is leaving out anything. Tana be isuri kamayri, but tefillas loy kamayri. You could say
and that the Tana is only listing the things that are osur on fast days. He's not getting into the question of what brachas, what are the difference in brachas between the different days. So therefore, the fact that the Tana doesn't say that there's a difference between the first three and the next three as far as the 24 brachas, maybe because he's not dealing with that aspect. But he's talking about the aspect of what kind of things are osur. On the first fast, you're allowed to do malacha, and you're allowed to bathe and so forth, and the next three, you're not. The Ibori Seima, or another answer, you could say, the Emsa'isa Nami Loi Matli Chavdal. You could answer, in fact, on the second three fasts, you don't do the 24 brachas either. The 24 brachas are only on the last seven fasts. Well, therefore, so on the first six fasts, so it is correct then to say that on the first three and the next three, there's no difference as far as the Nusach HaTfilah at all. So the Gemara says, "Veloy, how you're telling me that not?" Well, Tanya ain't been gimel shnius the sheva achronis. There's no difference between the second set of fasts and the next seven. Elosh ve'ele masriin v'noyel nusachanuyas. The difference is that on the last seven, they also masriin, which we're going to talk about in the Gemara tomorrow, and what that means. The Gemara is going to end up saying it means blowing shofar. And v'noyel nusachanuyas, and they close up the stores, like we said in the Mishnah. So holochol divrein zevazeh shoven, implying that other than that, the second three fasts and the seven fasts are all the same. So implying that you daven the same thing on all of them. Again, you're going to answer that maybe the Tana doesn't have to give the entire list. Maybe he's leaving out something. No, again, it says ein bein. There's no difference between this and this. So therefore, that implies that all of them are the same. So the Gemara answers back to Tisvara. So what are you thinking? Ein bein dabka. The word ein bein specifically has to mean there's no other difference. Well, hashayer teva. After all, there's another difference. On the last seven fasts, they take out the teva that contains the Sefer Torah out to the city streets. We're going to start learning about that tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. Or the next day, actually, we're going to start talking about that at the beginning of the next parak. And you only do that the last seven fasts. You don't do that the first three or the middle three. So already you see that there's things that it's leaving out. The Gemara says, no, imishum teva lav shiura. No, that's not considered a shiur, because lav shiura hu mila de tzine katani, mila de pahestio le katani. Because you could say that the Mishnah, that the Braisa, rather, is only listing things that take place in private, namely the difference between things, for example, that we blow shofar is not really in private, but it's in shul, it's not out in the street. And the same thing, the Noel HaSachanuyas is also, on the other hand, parhesia, where you're taking out the teva, to rechoiva shalir, maybe is not considered that maybe the Braisa is not addressing such things at all, and therefore the fact that it left it out doesn't prove anything. So we can't show one way or the other necessarily whether, in fact, you would say the extra six brachas on the middle three fasts or only on the last seven fasts. Okay, so we'll continue that discussion tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem.
Yashikaya.